Heilan meine Seele, lass an deine Brust mich flehen, da die Wasser der Erosion und die Wetter heil sehen. O wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in den lahmen Stürmen, bis vollendet ist mein Lauf. Führe mich zum sicheren Hafen, nimm den Mann die
Seele auf. O wie gut ist
dir Vertrauen, Jesus dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagen hab ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, das kein Leben mich erschreckt. Mit dem Schatten deiner Flügel sei mein wehrlos Haupte. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade vor der Sehnung sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilung mich beströmen, nimm gereinigt mich hinein. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die dann durfst du ewig still. Sei der Born in meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. When the man of Galilee hung upon
the cruel tree, he was dying
for sinners like me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me, just for me and the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground, there was one drop he shed just for me. When there appears this precious sight, oh, forgive them now, we cry. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood and water came. Glory to his precious name. And one drop he shed just for me. Just for me and the sins of my soul. Just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me. As the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground. There was one drop he shed just for me. When with all the saints I stand over in that happy land, and its beauty I'm able to see, as I look upon his face, I shall thank him for his grace, and that one drop he shed just for me, just for me in the sins of my soul, just to cleanse me and make me whole. There was pardon extended to me, as the blood came dripping down from the cross unto the ground. There was one drop he shed just for me. A country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending day where night shall never be, a city where no storm clouds ever gather. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the crown upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. A place where there is no misunderstanding, and from all enmity and strife we're free. No unkind words to wrong the heart are spoken. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image utter loves all flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves I'll flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. Now this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throne upon the glassy sea to greet our loved ones and crown Christ forever? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Liebe Schwester, sei willkommen. dir gegeben, Jesus hat dich aufgenommen, eine Jahr hey dir bereit. Liebe Schwester, sei willkommen, Hand und Kuss sei dir gegeben, Jesus hat dich in Gebirget, und dein Sohn dir bereit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit. Liebe Schwester, geh in Frieden mit uns hier in dieser Zeit. Glück und Heil sei dir beschieden, darum so sei doch bereit. Liebe Schwester, geh in Segen mit uns hier in dieser Zeit. Bleibe stets auf Gottes Wege, sei zum Leiden doch bereit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit. Liebe Schwester, sei stets wach, denn was du gelobet hast, und trag wie ein guter Racke Früchte für die Ewigkeit. Bleib in allen abgeschieden, lieb nicht mehr die Eitelkeit. Such die Eintracht, such den Frieden, lehne träg und sieh herein. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur Freiwilligkeit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit. Bald sind wir dort vor den Throne, wo die Krone uns bereit, wo uns Jesus Gottes Sohn auf ewig uns bereit. O drum werde doch nicht müde, hier in dieser Leidenszeit. Dort sind ja die Schaderlinge, Frauen frei von allen Leid. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit. Sehre Freistadt für die Seele, denen Jesus Lunden ein. Wie die Tau zu Noahs Arche, Zuflucht finden nicht verweilt. Amen, Amen, sei willkommen, allen waren wir bereit. Dir zu wünschen mit den Frauen Friede, Freude, Seligkeit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur Freiwilligkeit. Sei willkommen, sei willkommen, bis zur frohen Ewigkeit.
That's the truth. It's a very simple. Everybody's welcome. That's that last leg of the journey, I tell you. It's actually unbelievable how simple it is. Let's get away from the religiology. But how are you going to do it if you live in it?
Mm-hmm.
But all you got to do is believe that song. Everybody's welcome. We stood in the gap. We paved the way for them. You don't have to go through what we had to go through. Nobody has to do that. It's just sad that my ox has been butchered. We've been butchered the last 30 years. 30, 40 years. Kick from pillar to post. I'm not complaining. We just got to think about the reward. You know, Jesus wasn't complaining when he went to Calvary. He looked at the reward. He looked down the road how many people are going to be saved. And here we're doing the same thing. We're not complaining what we had to go through. But all we got to do now is do exactly. My oxen have been butchered. My fatling have been killed. Come enjoy the trip. But the Lord be dealing with us back in the early mm-hmm. 90s. He does require of everybody what he required of us, because he knows they couldn't follow it. He couldn't keep up to what the Lord had to yank us through, like these torture chambers we keep talking about, and these religions out there, and these scribes and these Pharisees. We're just exposing them. Mm-hmm. We don't hate these people because they're caught up in something they don't even know how deadly it is.
Right.
They're just being deceived. Satan is deceiving people and they don't even know it. And all we're doing now, we're just taking the covers off. We're taking the wraps off so people can live in freedom, like you and I are living in freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we still got a few battles to fight, and mostly the natural man that you fight with. Your five senses. That's basically the only battle we really have. I want to talk today about that. There's a time to see everybody takes communion. And like I say, it's not given to everybody to walk the walk that you and I have walked in the last 30, 40 years, ever since the Lord begin to deal with us, and one of the first things he dealt with me on, and first of all, you know the story. First, he moved on me to expose that Hutterite religion, who's behind it all, and did that, and then one of the first scriptures he gave me before he put me on the journey is that there's one faith, one baptism, and one God, and it was up to me to go look for that one faith, because I knew by that time that Hutterite faith was not that one faith, because we had that man come to our house. I keep repeating it, and I will keep repeating it, because nobody wants to mention it. That man had an out-of-the-body experience. He was dead for 17 minutes, and on that journey, he gave his testimony, and when he was done with it, he realized that Hutterite thing is first-class deception. You know the story. I've said it often enough. But for the sake of time, I just want to just kind of let people know. I knew by then, when the Lord gave me that scripture, one faith, one baptism, one God, I knew I had to go find that one faith, because mm-hmm. that man said, there's something out there somewhere, John. We got to go look for it. And that's what I did. I went looking for it. I knew that, like I say, that baptism, I knew by then, that Hutterite baptism was it, but I didn't know which one it was. And then I began on this journey. And I went to the Mennonites, and I went to the Pentecostals, and to the Baptists. Oh, when I look back, it was just the Lord journeying me through all these, you could call them what you want. I call them cesspools of religion. That's all it is, because Satan is running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has overtaken them, and he has brainwashed the people to believe that's it. And then once I found out, there's only one way to get baptized. But by immersion, I had enough sense for that, and then I found out later that I got to get baptized in Jesus' name. I did that, and then I had to find that one faith at that one time, and that one faith was the ministry. Brother Brennan was already gone, but once I found a ministry of Brother Jackson, I was off to the races, mm-hmm. because he was that message that I had, it was that piece of faith, that one message that I found, and he was still alive, and he was preaching, and I was sitting there for 10 years, and till he, little Lord took him off the scene. But I had that, found that one faith. If people follow through with it, that's their business. But it was my business to do what I heard. I heard that man preach. I heard Brother Brennan preach on tape. And I heard Brother Jackson in person. I seen him with my own eyes. And see, now I found there's one faith, there's one baptism, and there's one God. Now I found that package. Now God does not require everybody to go through it. I had to go through it. You just simply believe what we have to say here. And now here, everybody is welcome, because, like I say, God will not require from everybody what is required of you and me. We have a very isolated life, a very lonely life, if you really, like if we didn't have, all we got is each other. We kind of get used to it after a while, and like I say, not God does not require from you what is required of us. Because we have to set a standard. We're not just talking about these things. We have to live it. We've got to live by example. And we went back to Hosea. We keep going back to Hosea because Hosea, God expected the people in the days of Hosea to really to accept what Hosea had to say. And once they did that, once they accepted what Hosea had to say, they were preached before the Lord, because he said, because you've rejected the knowledge. The knowledge for that day of Hosea was to believe what Hosea had to say from God. He was only telling people what he received from God, and now all God expected from the people is to listen to what Hosea said, had to say, and then you follow through with it, and then God will remember your children and make sure you're a high priest before the Lord, before God. And here in this end time, it's the same thing. God sent a prophet, the prophet sent the seven church age messenger, and here in the church age, the latest here, we have that assured God sent a prophet. And then when he was done with him, and he took him off in 1965, that angel didn't die. That angel kept on going, and he took the vocal cords of Brother Raymond and Jackson, and then he preached till 2004, and then he couldn't know that angel could no longer speak, but through the vocal cords of Raymond M. Jackson, and he found you and I faithful to continue on with the program, because if we don't continue on with the program, believe you and me, there's nothing out there, there's nobody out there that's going to continue on the way you and I. We're putting it out there for the whole world to see. God set this whole thing up, and now we're, like I say, we have to live by example. We have to not only say it, we have to do it. Otherwise, we'll be coming up short. So today we want to talk about that that communion. You know what that is? What Paul said to eat in an unworthy manner. Okay, and start 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Is it 23?
23.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is Paul speaking. Well, he's the church messenger to the church of Laodicea, or to the church of Ephesus. He was that angel. The voice of that angel, like we keep saying it over and over again, is this the revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to the angel? And then we give it to the Apostle Paul here in the church age of Ephesus. And here he said, "For I have received of the Lord." He didn't come up with his own idea. He received this here revelation from the Lord. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." He delivered it to the people that were standing before him. "That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" You got to remember exactly what he says. Paul received it from the Lord. When you take communion, there's no life in that bread and that wine. There's no, it's just doing it. When you take that communion, just simple fact. Just do it to remember what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to go out there and go and allow myself to be crucified for you, for your sins and for your iniquity, so that you don't have to go to hell. It's just that simple. All he requires here, just do this in remembrance of me. After this same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, and he saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it here again. In remembrance of me. Just remember what mm-hmm. I'm going to go through for you. It's very simple. You can't add to that. And you just leave it with the simplicity of it. Just do it to remember what I did for you. Mm-hmm. There's no washing away of sins or confessing and all that stuff in there. Just do this. And to remember what I'm going to go through for you here at Calvary voluntarily, because he knew by now that there's nothing that you and I can do for our salvation. It's all what Jesus is going to do, and all he asks from us to remember it. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever, here's the crux, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and here's the key, not discerning the Lord's body. The only thing that qualifies you to partake of this Lord's Supper is to make sure that you're part of the body of Christ. And that Catholic Church back there, it was not the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Neither were the Hutterite Church. They're not the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is that nucleus of people down here that fit the picture. These signs shall follow them that believe. And my name they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's that Leonard from downtown. We talk a lot about it. We mentioned their name. Does he go out there and lay hands on the sick, and do they recover? Does he cast out devils? See, these are the signs that will follow them that believe. They're part of that nucleus of people that do this very thing. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. They do not discern that they're not part of the body of Christ, because the proof is in the pudding. These signs shall follow them that believe. And you and I, we're part of that nucleus of people that when people come through here, they got a demon, we'll cast that demon out. If they have cancer, we'll lay hands on them, we'll do exactly what the Bible says, and they will recover. And then, like I see, these signs shall follow them through. This is what happens when people come through here. Nothing to do with us. We just have our proper belief structure. We found that faith. We found that one baptism. And we found that one God. And we're not playing the game. That's why I keep saying God has pulled us through that, all that in the last 40 years. That we not only talk about it, we walk the talk. And we don't just talk about it. We walk it. We've gone through it. And that God required it of us. Like I say, he doesn't require it of us. Of everybody, sure, it'd be nice if everybody would try to live a life above reproach, and that's what the Lord qualified us. One of the first things he did before he put me on that journey, he got me no more alcohol, no more of that rye and all that 5 o'clock stuff, you know. That one of the first things he dealt with me, and then he took me deeper and higher and continued on for the last 40 years. To lead and guide by his, so that we can have a life above reproach, that we're living by example. We're not expecting people something that we don't do ourselves, you know. Just something that the Lord pulled us through. Now today, what we're doing, there's a lot of people, this time of the year, that take communion, you know. They feel obligated, or they coerced into it. That gospel all right down there, I think they take it every Sunday. And the other right, they take it once a year, and whatever, but we take it whenever the Lord moves on us to take it, and when we're going to take it, we'll take it at the Passover. We'll do it next May 1 is the real Passover. Mm-hmm. This here today, this is not just Easter. That's not to do mm-hmm. with the Passover. The Passover is and has always been the first new moon after the spring equinox. Mm-hmm. When that sun passes that equator, and this year it happened, I think, in March 20, and at a certain time of the day, you can have it on your computer, 4 o'clock in the morning, that sun passed the equator. Now, as soon as that new moon hits, and that moon had to hit, I think it was 13 days after the spring equinox passed, there is your new moon. We haven't reached it yet. We haven't hit that new moon yet for this year because it's up the road here. A lot of people say you don't have to split hairs like that. You don't have to go straight, but you and I, we have to, because we have to have it right. We have to set the standard, and we have to set the example, and we'll do exactly what the Bible says. We're not going to do what tradition has. Tradition has here to, mm-hmm. they got the Passover here on Friday. They had a Passover, I think.
So the new moon this year is April 17.
Yeah, that's the new moon down there. At April the 17th, we start waiting for the full moon to come. And then the full moon will come, will be May 1, when the full moon, that's when you and I, the night before, because they took it the Thursday night, they took it the night before, and then that's when you and I will have our communion by a description. Like I say, we have to set an example, and we have to make sure that you and I are 100% accurate. That's why we can't have that communion today or whenever they have it this weekend at Easter time. See, Easter time, there's no such a thing as Easter in the early church. There was no sign of Easter. It only came on afterward. Once the devil starts to pervert everything, that's what the devil does. He goes in there and he muddies up the water and he hijacks everything that God is doing. He did that back in the garden. He did that back when Adam and Eve came on the scene. And that's what the devil does. He goes in and hijacks it and perverts it, and then he mixes everything up. That's what he did with that Passover.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life, and just pray you'll help us with this very important subject, Lord, here that we're on. That we put it out there as clear as crystal, Lord, and that people will start taking note, Lord. Because, Lord, we have to leave by example. We have to do what you tell us to do. We can't follow tradition and all these religion ideologies that they have out there. Today we have to make sure that we have it right, because you're using us to set an example. And then we just pray, Lord, you open the hearts of the people, that we're not just playing a game here. We have to continue to walk by faith and walk by the things that you have shown us to do, and to say it exactly the way you want us to say it, Lord. We just pray to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Look, all we're doing, we're yanking people back in reality. And if you can't take it, well, just bear with us. Just try to get to a place where you can actually believe it. Like I say, you don't have to go through it. We have to go through. We're just putting it out there. We're just being honest. We're just doing what the Lord moves on our heart to do. And last night when I went to bed, I wondered what we're going to talk about. The Lord let me know, you need to clear up that communion. Everybody's mm-hmm. taking communion. Now you're going to take communion. You want to take it right. You want to take it in such a way that you don't have to bring damnation on yourself. Because it says, he that eats and drinks in an unworthy manner will bring damnation to himself, will bring judgment on himself, because he does not discern the body of Christ. That's why we can say wholeheartedly, this here that you and I have is the body of Christ. That other right thing, it's not the body of Christ. And these people that will be taking communion, I think they take it Monday, they'll be taking it in an unworthy manner, and they, what they do, they bring judgment on themselves, because really, they really have no choice. They're coerced. They're almost like forced to take communion. And behind it, you got to understand that behind it is the spirit of Satan. But Satan has hijacked everything that God does. He goes in there and he hijacks. Just like I said back in the garden, you know. And God gave Adam and Eve a very simple formula. Mm-hmm. Just get a simple job to do. Be fruitful and multiply. That's all that he gave them to do. He gave them the animal kingdom and everything. Now he said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. But then, lo and behold, he comes along. But there's a certain law that you have to stay by. Only partake of the tree of life. That's reproduction, that in order to be fruitful and multiply, there has to be a sex act. So what God was telling Adam and Eve, just partake of the tree of life. Only use sex for reproduction purposes only. But here's another law, and he didn't explain everything. Here the devil will come with his ideology, and he that's exactly what he did. He went in there and he polluted that whole reproductive program. And what they did, he seduced Eve and to having sex for pleasure. That's where that sex thing comes from. To this day, would be the human race has to dress themselves. The animal has to dress themselves because the animal kingdom is still with that reproductive program. They were not given two laws. They were only given one law for reproduction, for sex for reproduction purposes only. You don't see the animals out there doing sex for pleasure. When the time comes around, and now it's time to reproduce, it comes automatically in nature. But here's the Adam and Eve. Satan comes along through that serpent, and he defiles that whole thing, and that's what he's doing to this very day. When God does something, he comes in and he figures out the plan and the purpose and the way how we can defile it. That's what he did with that Acts 2 verse 38, that baptism. Came in there and defiled that whole baptism thing, hijacked it. It took him 300 years, 325 AD, till he finally got the bishops and the whole church up in arms, and they were fighting each other and just throwing spears at each other, that the emperor had to come in to settle that score. And behind it was the spirit of Satan. Okay, what the emperor decided to do, we'll set up a constitution, and from now on, I'm just paraphrasing, we'll erase that Acts 2:38 baptism, and we'll hijack it, and we'll put our own baptism in there, and the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost by pouring or sprinkling. And then we've been over it and over again. Before the Lord could use us for His glory, before the Lord could use us to do what we're doing out here today, bringing out the truth, He had to first make sure we got that baptism right. And then they took us back up to the Cloverdale Bible Way, and that's where I got baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, it's that simple. But before God could move us on to the next chapter, then from there, He took us to the ministry of Brother Jackson. And then from there, He just kept moving us on. And now He's found you and I faithful to deliver this meat and due season and to do whatever we're doing here, because He has tried and found us faithful and true, that He's given us the responsibility. Now we can tell people the truth. We can yank people back into reality. And today we're talking about that communion. We're taking it right out of the scriptures, because Paul said, I have received this from the Lord. He didn't come up with his own idea. He was listed that text, exactly what we keep saying. This is the revelation God gave to Jesus, the gift of the angel. And then back here, that angel gave it to the apostle Paul, because he said, I have received this from the Lord. Yeah, it was that angel that stood before him all the time. He said, my angel is always before me. And he got the apostle Paul to deliver this here communion thing. This here, make sure that you examine yourself. Not for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, like I say, today, I guess Monday, they left their communion, these other rites, and that they're all taking it in an unworthy manner. They're not, the Hutterite Church is not the body of Christ. It's just that simple. It's just a religious organization that Satan has hijacked and infiltrated, and now here in these closing days of time, all we're doing, we're taking the reps off all these religions, and whether it's that Woodcrest group, whether it's the Gospel Hall down here, they're all taking it and bringing, don't even know it, they're bringing damnation on themselves. They're bringing God's judgment on themselves, and someday when the God's going to come back and judge His planet, they're going to be on the wrong side of the fence, because they have partaken of that communion in an unworthy manner, and they have voluntarily taken the... Well, really, it's not even voluntarily, because when you're living in a commune, in a Hutterite setting, you pretty well have to take pretty well coerced them to take a communion. And then when you're going down to the gospel hall, there's a special group of people. You got to be that special group. You can come to the gospel hall church, but you can't have communion because you haven't really been ordained or something. I don't know what you have to go through to get to be able to take communion. But if you and I would go down there as visitors, we could not partake of their communion. But once you're part of that gospel hall system, then you can take communion. See what the devil does? He's hijacked the communion completely, that it doesn't even make sense anymore. Now, like I say, the other right, Monday they're going to take communion in an unworthy manner, and thereby they're bringing judgment on themselves, and they don't know it because over the 2,000 years, the Satan taken this whole thing, everything is polluted and hijacked and perverted, and now he can brainwash the people, and they think it's the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. It's just a way of life to them. Mm-hmm. We're just trying mm-hmm. to bring out, clarify everything. Mm-hmm.
And the word Easter is not even biblical. Mm-hmm. The translators added Easter into, like you will find it in Luke, one time Easter. And that only comes because when you will look what Easter means, it means Ostera. And it's kind of a German word, Ostern. So that's where it originated from, and that's how it got translated into the English as Easter. But it was originated back there. And what it really is, I'll read you here a little bit, just to let you know where it originated from, the word Easter. It comes from the woman Astarte, was also the mother of Tammuz. So that takes you right back to Nimrod. Mm-hmm. That's where all those pagan gods originated from, okay? There's mm-hmm. always a point of origin. And that's where they were all involved in this pagan worshiping. And that's why God called Abraham out of there, because mm-hmm. he wanted to have a people that will worship him, not those false gods out there. Anyway, it says here, the Nostor Ostara, or Nostra, from the name Easter, which the name Easter is derived. So it's derived, Easter is derived from that Nostora. Its origin began in Saxon Anglo. Those are the people, like in the German people, and mm-hmm. back in the Europe, back in the century, that were the Saxon Anglo. They referred to this season in honor of this Babylonian goddess. So it was a Babylonian goddess back in their pagan worshipping. Easter was a celebration observed on the first day of the spring around March 21st at the beginning of the vernal equinox. See, that's when, those are the two main pagan holidays. It's when you will look at the equinox, when the sun come back, and the solstice in December. Mm-hmm. When the sun comes back, and then they worship that was a pagan worship for them. And then around the spring equinox, when everything comes to life, and that was strictly, that was a pagan worship. And what it did was, I'll just continue reading here. At the beginning of the spring vernal equinox, and was strictly pagan throughout all the East. Other nations referred to this season by various names, but they all represented the same pagan goddess Astarte, Nimrod's wife. The celebration by the Anglo-Saxon during the season of Astarte is commemoration of this goddess came on the first day of spring, which was the time of the resurrection of nature itself. It was pagan in all of its ritual. The legend relating to Astarte are far too lengthy to be covered in this. Anyway, mm-hmm. that's where it originated from. And that's what they adopted back there, because Satan wanted to hide the resurrection. So he took the pagan worshipping of Easter and infiltrated into the Passover. Yeah. That's where it came in. That's where it came about to be called Easter. But you go throughout the Bible, it always refers to Passover, because that first Passover that the Israelites had was when they came out of Egypt. And that set the type of the real Passover that is to come. And then Jesus, before he was crucified with his disciples in the upper room, he had his Passover with his disciples. And then he set the stage of what that Passover really is to mean from there on forward in the realm of Christianity, of the believer. It is done as a remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more. It's a remembrance of him. Not some pagan, idyllic worship that they have infiltrated into it.
See, before the God of heaven could use that to bring all that out, he had to yank us out of all these pagan religions.
Mm-hmm.
That Easter, just omit that Easter is all just purebred paganism. It's got nothing to do with Passover. See, if you and I were still in that religious system, we couldn't celebrate Passover the way. We'd have to follow their trend. They'd be like, say, we'd be down at that gospel hall, we'd be taking communion every week. And then we be doing this phony Easter thing. This is really not the true Easter. It's just something that Satan has hijacked, and he has decided one day he's gonna use that Easter. And all it is paganism, pure paganism, because Satan has hijacked that Passover, and now he is twisted and mixed up everything, and now he's coercing people to take communion so that they can bring judgment on themselves. It's just that simple. And you and I, we're keeping the picture crystal clear. We're going to have our communion. Our Passover will be May 1, 2026. Yeah, 2026. That's when we'll have our Passover.
Mm-hmm.
May 1. That's when the true Passover is this year. Last year was a different. Every year is different. Back in 2021, if we wouldn't be as sloppy as they all are, they had a Passover. Also, they didn't have it according to the Bible. We would have missed that Yom Kippur. Then we could not tell people exactly where we are in time. We cannot come out here because the Lord has pulled us through all this schmear, all this paganism, and he set our feet on a solid rock, and he brought us to the ministry of Brother Branham. And because we were willing, we were like it says, God has hid these things from the wise and the prude, and he revealed them unto babes such as were learned. You and I were willing to be taught, and then we found all that out through the ministry of Brother Branham. And then when he goes off the scene, God just kept adding more. We found out what happened in the praise story to the ministry of Brother Jackson. We all his information that we put out, you can see how long the God of heaven was leading and guiding us to do this very thing that we're doing today on this very day here, when tomorrow and Monday they're going to, all these people have this Passover. They did or this communion, and they're taking it in an unworthy manner. First of all, they're out and killed it with the Passover, and then they take it in an unworthy manner because they're not identifying themselves with the body of believers. Just that simple. It's just a tradition. It's just the gospel holler, the gospel holler. The Hutterites are the Hutterites. The Amish, they're the Amish. The Woodcresters, they're the Woodcresters. It's just Satan has infiltrated all these things, every aspect of society, and he has hijacked it all. But see, you and I, we be called out to hold a line on the truth. That's what the God has raised us up to, expose the unfruitful work of darkness and keep a line on the truth. That's why we're so verbal with things. We say it exactly the way it is, and people are not used to it. So what they do, they chill us out, and they cut us off. But regardless what they do, even if nobody listens, it still goes into the heavenly atmosphere. And then these angels, they disperse it wherever there's a hunger and a thirst. They'll bring them to this here truth, and people are going to find out this is exactly 100% right. Because it's not you and I that are doing it. Like I say, last night, I was kind of wondering what we're going to talk about. I thought we'll talk about Easter, but the Lord just came down, and last night he told me, clear up that Passover. If you're a Hutterite and you take Passover to, like on Monday, you're bringing judgment on yourself. It's just that simple. I did write the Bible. I was just reading. I hear what the Apostle Paul said, because he said, I got this from the Lord. And all I'm doing, I'm reading it, yanking people back what the Apostle Paul really said, that Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And Paul came on to explain and just repeating what Jesus said back when he took communion with his disciples. He's just repeating it, but he's putting in a clause here now. If you eat unworthily, and that partake of that Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, is bringing judgment on himself. Back then, there were phonies, just like there are today. There were all kinds of groups back there, too. But they were worshiping idols, you know. They were partaking. They can hide, because Paul goes on to say, how can you have fellowship with people that worship idols? And you know the story. You just go back and read it. But we're just bringing out today, when you partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, you're simply bringing judgment on yourself. And I watch all these churches out from the Middle East there, how ISIS came in then, and they killed them and slaughtered them and butchered them all throughout history, how these churches, these so-called Christians, were butchered and slaughtered throughout the ages. Why? Because they themselves brought judgment on themselves, partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. It's just a group there, and yeah, they live holy and all that stuff, like these different religions over in the East there, in the Middle East. I don't know what they call them. There's certain groups of people, they live very holy, but they're not part of the body of Christ, because, like I say, this is the body of Christ, that they believe on them who I will send, and this is part of that nucleus of people. They lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. They're not doing that, and therefore they're not part of the body of Christ. We're just trying to yank people back into the reality of things. And here in the colony, you kind of coerce, you're forced to take communion, whether you like it or not, because you're part of that religious seat. And Satan, like I said, he's hijacked everything. Now he's coercing people into bringing judgment on himself. He knows what he's doing. He's not stupid. He knows exactly how he said he's going to set up this thing. And then he put that, hijacked that Passover and ejected into that Easter thing, which is nothing but Satan worship. And we're just cleaning up the picture. You don't have to believe it if you don't want it, but the one thing about it, like I keep saying, you may not like what you hear, but you're going to hear the truth. That communion, they're going to be taken here, especially the Hutterites, Monday. They'll all take communion or whatever, and they don't know it, but they're bringing judgment on themselves. Just that simple, according to Paul's writing here. He said, I received this from the Lord. Therefore, he said, examine yourself, so that we not be judged. Just that simple. And that we not be condemned with the world. It's a very serious thing that's going on here in this hour of time. But that's why the Lord had to take us through. That's why we've been butchered and slaughtered for the last 30 years. And then every kick from killer to post, accused of things that we're completely innocent of. And that's just part of the program. We're not complaining because God put us through that, so that here in these closing days of time, we'll have something to tell the people. There's got to be a truth somewhere. And we have it 100% right. We got that communion right. We got the day of the Lord right. We know exactly when God once again restores Israel, which happened on October the 15th, 2021. And from there, 7 years to the end of it. And we got the program down 100% right. And in order to have it so 100% right, we have to have a life that's above reproach. That's why the Lord is dealing with us. First of all, I said here earlier, get rid of that alcohol. We got no use for that alcohol. The Lord dealt with me for that 30, 40 years ago. And, things like that. And now we're just kind of, we're walking the talk. We're not just talking about, we're living the life. And then he puts us together so we can have a check on each other and keep each other in line. That's basically the bottom line of that communion. You're taking it in an unworthy manner and we're just putting it out there. You can believe it if you don't want to, and you can accept it. But everybody's welcome. You can only get yourself to a place where you believe what we're saying. Liebe Schwester, sei willkommen. Just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks, Lord, for truth, Lord, for the simplicity of your word, Lord. We know that the enemy has hijacked everything and made everything into something that is not real, Lord. We know the only Passover that is in the Bible is the Passover. Nothing about Easter. The early church did not have any Easter. That Easter came in through pagan worshiping holidays, Lord. And we just want to let people know the simplicity and the beautifulness of what the early church held, Lord, when they had Passover. They did not have no Easter. And we just want to debunk Satan's lies, Lord, that he has infiltrated into humanity, Lord, with this Christmas, this Easter, that it's just a simple Passover. And that's why the ministry of Brother Branham is so important, that Spirit of Elijah came to restore these things that had been lost, that Satan has taken, and he took all the truths that you restored from the 1500s and continuing on, that what the early church had, and you just wanted to bring us back to the faith of the early church. And we just want to give you thanks, and we want to let people know the truth of these things, the fundamental truths of your word, Lord, in the simplicity of your word, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.